Welcome back to That's Cricket. This is your second Ashes Test post-match show brought to you by Runmaker. Liam, what a test. It actually ends later than lunch on day four.
Yeah, I'm actually, I think I'm very happy because it went to 4 days, right? England, that's a big achievement. But no, I mean, they were staring down the barrel today, right? That's what all the press had it. They're going to stare down the barrel. There was a bit of a character by two of the players today. We're probably going to get into that in terms of Stokesy and Jax. They played on a wicket that looked fairly good, to be honest with you. A little bit of nip, but they showed some fight and put a few runs on the board for England.
They did. They put a few runs on the board. I got to have a good nap while they were batting. They were out there for a while. Stokesy did make 50. They put on 94 runs. Stokesy and Jax. They put on 94 runs. Stokesy got 50 of 152 balls. But then, yeah, out of kind of nowhere, beautiful take. Steve Smith, one-handed Specky in the slips, changes the momentum of the game. One brings two brings three brings four, and it's all kind of wrapped up.
Yeah, mate, it was, as soon as it opened, right, you could see that Australia had the tactics and they're being patient. You had Doggett who was bowling bouncers, which was so, but that was the tactic. And then you had Anisa who bowled beautiful. The keeper came up, which made that Steve Smith's catch even harder, because I can imagine the Carey's right glove would have been covering some of that. So for him to be able to take that sort late, that was a magnificent catch, and inspiration goes from there. The bowling got better, very disciplined, and it was like bang, 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 bang. That's nothing usual. That's just England, right? Apparently,
It's not a collapse. It's just England.
That's it.
Yeah, Carey being up to the stumps. That's impressive. He such an incredible game, Carey. We'll talk more on that. But yeah, they lost 4 for 17, England today. Jack's caught in the slips. Nisa takes 5. Stokes gone. He gets gone for 50. Atkinson smashes one to Smith. Cast a catch in the slips. Another one from Smith. Nisa ends up with 5 for 42.
He bowled beautiful, mate. He had very good control. I think that's what they asked him, what were you looking to do? And he was just trying to hit top of off stump. And that's what he did over and over and over again, which makes him a good bowler around Australia. That's the funny thing, right? He's played 3 tests. He got 5 today, and he might not play the next test. But that's cricket.
That's cricket. He may not play the next test. You would think they'd try to squeeze him in there somewhere. I mean, we'll have to figure out who they're going to have for the next test, with Pat Cummins and Lyon expected to come back for the Adelaide test. Liam, let's bring it back all the way back to the start. We did get 4 days of cricket, but we have to go back to the first innings to kind of set up how we got to today. So in that first innings, England, four ducks for England. Stark gets another wicket in the first over. He gets Ben Duckett struggling a little bit. Well, I guess everyone's kind of struggling at some point. No one's really finding their feet inside the batting lineup for England, except for Mr. Average Joe Root.
He soaked up the pressure. He played his own tempo, right? Yeah, there's a chance early on that got dropped, which is a difficult chance. Missed drop Root. I think it was his left hand again. But Root just set his own pace. When he plays at his best, he just does his own tempo, regardless what's going on around him. I know we see him do the sweep shot and the ram to Boland and stuff like that in England. But I feel like he just controls his tempo, and he was outstanding. I think a lot was made for him. He's not going to be the best in the world. He's not going to be classed as the best if he doesn't get 100 in Australia. I'm not sure how much he cared about that. Maybe he did a little bit, and that was his celebration. He was like, eh. But it was like, it's just another 100 for me to go on the other, how many hundreds I've got. But he was outstanding, mate. He was absolute player of the day.
Yeah, batted very well. 138 off 206 balls. Spent 379 minutes at the crease. 15 fours, 1 6, strike rate 66.99. Yes, very, very good performance from Joe Root. Ends up not out. Ended up, you know, this could have something that looked back England kind of cost them the game here, set themselves up for failure during this first innings. If someone had stuck out there with Root, they could have put on many, many more runs. Australia end up with 511 from their first innings. England only able to put up 334. tough.
Yeah, I mean, it is as well, isn't it? Because the Archer came in the first innings and smacked a few, but it was the morning after when Marnus took that absolute blinder of a Superman catch when it stuck in his right paw. That kind of changed that momentum, right? And then Australia came off, they're running to get off to get the pads on, and Joffrey just got out, and he obviously strolled back and has to get ready to bowl. And when he came out and bowled, he was kind of zapped the first innings, right? He was bowling wide down the leg side, which is unusual for him, bowling at 135, 138. And it was it took a while to get going, but yeah, big score on the board. 500 is never easy to chase.
Yeah, but you mentioned Joffre. He looked so different from that bowling innings the first time he bowled till today. Today he was up to 150 clicks. He was really slinging them down there. Absolute hilarious ending to the game where he's given. Well, I think Steve Smith gave him some chirp first.
Yeah,
I think the phrase was "not sure why you're bowling quick, champion" or something. Or when the game's over, champion. He said he called him champion.
He said you only bowl quick when there's nothing on the game.
Oh yeah, and then he said champion.
Champ.
Yeah, and then you can hear on the mics. It was I hadn't really heard anything over Mike until that kind of moment, and then they kept the stump mics on, and you can hear Stokes talking to him, you could hear Arch talking to him, and he got so chirpy at the end. A barrage from Archer hits him for six. Smith ends up hitting him for six, and then to win the game, Smith all up in it. He's like, oh yeah, cheering and fist pumping with Weatherald, and yeah, a lot of momentum is going to shift now for, well, Australia's up 2-0. You'd expect at this point it's a 5-0, absolute whitewash. They're going to go to Adelaide and just absolutely destroy. Momentum's just, you know, all for Australia. But yeah, potentially. Then they also all the lineups changing. Have to mention in the first innings, bowling performances by Mitchell Starc.
Yes.
6 for 75 off 20 overs.
Unbelievable. And I think a lot of people always thought that that big in-swinger to the right-hander would do all the damage. I was listening to Jason Gillespie. Obviously, Dizzy's an absolute legend, a great bowler himself. And he's talking about how Mitchell Starc's worked on coming straighter. When he used to bowl, obviously, that wobble seam, he would be a bit lower. His arm would be a bit lower. So probably didn't get the bounce. Where this one, he was higher up and he was kissing the seam and he was making it hard to play. Batsmen still think he can bring the ball back where he did once or twice, picked up a couple of wickets from the lefties nicking off. But no, he was special again, and he's in some serious form. Obviously, backing up the last test, and obviously man of the match, and obviously what he did here with bat and ball is Mitch's ashes.
Yes, yeah, and you're right. He has ended up with man of the match, 6 for 75. Then he goes from there. He ends up with 77, which is the highest run score for Australia. He top scores for Australia, batting in at number. Where'd he come in at number 8, number 9? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Coming in at 9. He actually breaks a record. I think he has the most runs, most Ashes runs, or most runs as in the number 9 position. And another fun fact, Australia for the third time ever, the entire 11 batting lineup had double figures. Only the third time that Australia has ever done that. As a batting lineup, there was one in a Bradman era and in 1992 against Sri Lanka. So everyone contributed to the Australian batting, getting them to that 5-11, which obviously was kind of enough to kind of essentially bat England out of the game. Into yesterday, you know, they had a great start. They were, you know, none for 48. and then it kind of one brings two, and as we go again.
Yeah. One big drive after another big drive after caught and bowled after another caught and bowled after a big drive. That's kind of how it played out.
Yes.
Right?
The caught and bowls were kind of unreal.
Yeah, it was like playing cricket with kids in the garden and the kid just knocks it straight back to you. That's kind of, it was like, what?
It was a little bit of deja vu, actually. You watch it and then it happens again. I'm like, didn't I just watch this? And it's like, oh no, it's a whole different batter. And you know, we're watching it at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, didn't this has happened? No, it's the exact same wicket to the different person. Exact same wicket. And technically he had a third chance. Duckett really early on, smashed one back at him, absolutely baseballed it to him, pops out of his hands. But the other two were just spoon fed, pretty easy takes there for pretty easy take there for Neeser. And then today it was on the shoulders of Ben Stokes, who's something great. You had said that he would potentially do something great, had the opportunity to do something great. Even in the broadcast, they were like, they had mentioned at some point he had faced as many balls as he had done at the 2019, and it could have been.
You know what breaks a partnership, mate? A good nut shot. That's why he did it. I think that took it out of him, and then it just like made him literally like spray away. Yeah, that's,
literally took it out of him.
Literally. So you know, I think it might have been after that he was a bit winded, and he just stuck his bat out a little bit. But it was great bowling again. It was a good innings. It was good patience. Him and Jax played nicely, but it also showed that you can bat on that pitch a bit, like Stark and Bowling, what they did to that previous innings where they batted time. They're willing to get hit. They were looking to duck. England showed they could bat on that pitch. It was just obviously a bit later.
Yeah, I think I did see a meme like, this test is the death of Bazball and burn it like the ashes. Ben Stokes proved today that Bazball is dumb and you shouldn't play Bazball and you should just play cricket. Like Ben Stokes just played cricket today. Like he just cricketed. Yeah. Like that's cricket. Like that's Ben Stokes just did cricket today.
That's cricket. I think when you look at the best teams in the world, and England are not right now, but you can win more than one way. You have to find a way, whether you're a boxer or you're a striker or a golfer. There's different ways that you can win a game of sports, and it shows, isn't it? You're not just Bazball. You have to find ways to win against different opposition. Sometimes going out too fast, too quickly is not going to win you a game. Sometimes it's being clever. You're playing against Mitchell Stark, who, let's maybe be a bit clever against him, maybe take down the other bowlers. But yeah, there's more than one way to win that, right?
Yeah, it's a good old hare and the tortoise, you know. Yeah. You can, a couple ways to skin a cat. Like England now looking in the like World Test Championship rankings, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're 7th.
Oh, wow.
7th. They're only above Bangladesh and the West Indies. Everyone else is above them in the Test Championship. Kind of looking pretty bad for England over here.
But the games are exciting though, mate. So
games are exciting, but I mean, if you're an English fan, like if I was an English fan, I'd be livid. Like if I was an England fan, I would be like, sack everyone. This is ridiculous. Like, because tactically, like you said, there's no advantage. There's no strategic advantage. Or like if it works, it works. Notion is just ridiculous. Like I posted that meme today of like, oh, it's fine, we're fine. Like you're not fine. Like English cricket is and Bazball is dead. Like and Stokes proved it today. Like he batted a great innings today with Will Jax, and that's what everyone needed to do. If everyone just batted like that, because there's no excuse on, oh, the pitch was bad. No, pitch was fine. Pitch had some cracks in it. It's cricket. That's cricket. You're gonna get cracks in the pitch.
I remember Ruti was saying Bazball is just every player finding the way that works for them and going along with it, right? Bazball's brought up by the press, whatever. But that aggressive type, you can put your sword back in your holster at some point and take it easy, right? Gun in your holster.
Yeah.
Sword in holster. You sword in the sleeve. You can put the sword back in the sleeve now and then and think, let's be smart, let's be clever.
Yeah, because even you think like Travis Head came out both innings and he Bazballed himself. He trap-balled himself. Like just playing aggressive cricket is a thing that can happen, and some players play that way. And if it comes off, it comes off. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. If Travis Head had started swinging in that second innings, in the first test, and he got out early, we would have gone. It wouldn't have been amazing trap-ball because but that's what happens. Sometimes it just comes off, right? And you play your way. But when you have 5 days of cricket to play, I feel like England have just constantly rushed it. They haven't, like, it's as if they've gone to these things and they've got somewhere to be. Oh, we got somewhere to be in 3 days. So let's just make sure we get it done so we can get there. You don't have to rush. Like you can face, like Stokes faced 152 balls today. Jax faced 92 balls. You know, that's cricket. That's test cricket. That's part of it.
It's different. Also, it's different in the UK, different in England, because the outfields are rapid. The grounds are smaller. So over here, if they've got in England, you'd have try and add on like, so Stokes, he's played 50 balls. It, probably in England, he'd be right 50 off. You get 70 off. Do you know what I mean? It's so easy to pierce the gap and to go for four. It's harder to block the field, where Australia is a lot bigger, so you can plug the gaps a little bit harder. The grass is a little bit thicker, different bit of grass. So I think that's why England, it struggled to play like that. You know, it's consistently. Yeah. Travis Head shows you can do it now and then as a player. You do something extra special, but that isn't an innings that it's extra special. You don't see that every game, you know?
Yeah, no, the boundaries are definitely a concern. Well, a different thing that they have to contend with being in Australia, they're at least 5 meters bigger average around the ground, sometimes even 10 meters bigger at points of the ground.
The ball's soft as well. The ball was soft as well, right?
Yeah. And I mean, considering today, the pink ball test, the wickets all fell today. Like, it's in daylight. Like, I know it's trying to bowl to the players when they're just coming into the daylight or coming into the night time or whatever. But they actually, over the course of the match, played pretty decent during that time. You can't really say the two wickets they lost just now were for fun. It was, you know, dead rubber kind of thing. But you know, plenty of wickets happening during the day, like regular cricket. Yeah.
Minus one, the Gus Atkinson was naughty. That hit.
That was that's your word for it. That is pretty naughty. You get the glove. But that, and that's kind of sucky for Labuschagne. You would think
off your pop, mate.
No, but as in like it's not good for him, like to play that shot, like to do that, like he's better off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's,
do you know what's strange about that, mate, is it was quite wide and he leaves very well. You know, it wasn't like it was straight at him. His hands were out, which is unusual for him. It was the same as the ball before, and it's very strange for him. So maybe he's in a mindset as like, oh, we're going to finish this quickly. And he's trying to prod one to get a single. But normally, if he was playing his way, he probably would have left it, right?
You say that he's been leaving well. He left the ball in the first innings and chopped it on off his elbow. And then he almost did it the exact same way in the next day. He did that in the first test. And then he almost chopped it on again in the first day. He went to leave it, pull his arms up, hit him in the elbow, just went over the stumps. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird thing there with Marnus. And also, if you think back to Border Gavaskar Trophy, he left one from Boomer that just hit him straight on the pads, thinking that it would go past the stumps, but it was in swinging full delivery. I don't know what he was doing there. But he had looked good in the first innings, and like everyone contributed in this first innings. Mm. We can go back and look at Australia, and Travis had 33. He was on the lower end for Australia in that first innings. Weatherald 72 off 78. A good dig for him. Being new to the side, he got some runs, and unfortunate not to go all the way on the 100. And he almost got out again to the in swinging Yorker tonight. He almost got out the same. They went up for the review.
Yeah, going down. It was going down, but it was a good ball, right? I think the commentators, I think Alistair Cook asked for it I was listening to, and he got it, but it was just sliding down leg there.
Yeah, so that first one in the first test, Archer was right arm over the wicket. Then for the one where he got him in the first innings, he was right arm around the wicket. And he was right arm around the wicket tonight to him. But it was a little more straighter and a bounce. The one from the first innings was a full toss. Like it was a century crusher right on the Yorker length. And now that I'm looking at it with him, I don't know what he is doing with this crouching. He is so low. It's kind of unbelievable. I don't know how this is helping him at all. I don't know what the strategy is around the crouching. If it's a comfort thing. But it makes no sense logically from a teaching batting perspective to be that low, because you got to pop up, you know, you got to move your head. Your goal is to try to keep your eyes and head as still as possible.
Correct. But it's working, though. It's also what feels good to the player, right? Like you've got your individual needs, and actually I feel comfortable like this. He might move a little bit, or he might move enough to, okay, I'm moving, then I'm going to be still. But obviously, this test, he's played nicely, you know. He's runs in the first innings, not out in the second innings. He's going to go back to Adelaide, where he's played so much cricket and full of confidence. So,
yeah. Yeah. Labuschagne, he got 65 in that first innings. He looked good. And while we're here, while we're talking about all of the run makers, we should dedicate the rest of this segment here to, and we're going to talk about run maker, all the run makers that happened during the Aussie innings. They were the ones that dominated the runs here in the second innings. Like I said, run maker, thank you for supporting the video here. Every series, the Ashes gives us moments that we will never forget with blistering spells, brave stands, and shots that echo through history. Runmaker VR is your very own indoor net facility, and you can train from the comfort of your own home with lifelike pace. You can train your reflexes and your technique with real-time feedback, and you can take on sessions inspired by legends out in the middle. This Ashes, don't just be a spectator. Own the moment with Runmaker VR. You can work on your short ball, your cover drive, your ram shots, and get real-time feedback that you can give to your coach to make sure that you are better out in the middle. Download Runmaker and save this Ashes with code RUNMAKER-SUB-E6EFEA to get 50% off your first 6-month subscription when signing up before January 31st. Thank you again to Runmaker. I'm super excited to being out there and using it and batting with it. We've got a lot of stuff coming with Runmaker. Super excited and thankful to them. Smith, he was fired up. He was fired up at the end there. He came off 61 in the first innings, and kind of, I'm not sure where the emotions were coming from in the second innings, but he's looking to take it on. He captained this game. He captained the last game. Pat Cummins will be coming into the side most likely, from what we can tell. He's going to lose his captaincy, but let's just talk a little about him being a captain and scoring runs.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really – he got 50-odd. What did he get, 50-odd, 60 in the first
innings? He got 61, yep.
I mean, he's one of the best players that ever played the game. To have him in your side, and he's not actually needed to – he hasn't gone big yet either, but he's still such a massive player, and that's – apart from his captaincy, which has been excellent, we kind of bagged a little bit about why the fielders are out, but they obviously had a game plan, and it worked yet again. So you have his captains, you have his batting, but also his fielding that changed the game today. We spoke about that. So he's out there, he's amongst it, he loves it. He's got a great thinking brain. So he's always busy. And the catch he took, which took Jacks today, changed momentum, and then it was bang, 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 Australia win. But he's impressive, isn't he, all around?
Yeah, I think it's not just the batting. It's also in the fielding. You know, the three catches he took today, you know, absolutely insane. And there always seemed to be someone there. Like, even with his captaincy, someone seems to be there where he wants it to happen. Like, for example, I think there was maybe three times that balls just went over Cam Green's head. Like, Cam Green was kind of slow to react a little bit in his fielding. No one's counting anything has a drop. But he had about three chances and a couple times he was at full stretch. And the balls went exactly where Steve Smith wanted them. He had Green in the exact spot. The balls just were a little too high, you know, and he put himself in the right position to get Atkinson. Yeah. He hit it straight to him. And even he put Travis Head in a short square and Head almost had a chance. He busted his hand. But you know what I mean? That's the kind of thing that we get from Steve Smith. He just kind of can see the game and piece it together like a jigsaw puzzle, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I love it that the camera was on him all the time because he's very animated, right? He shows his feelings, he wears his heart on his sleeve, but he's clever with it. He makes some great decisions. They obviously do the strategy and they know where to ball to the England players, especially the tail end, because they just put the fielders out and the England guys just swapped away. And so I think at that point, the England cricketers at the back end, the tail enders are like, I don't want to get hit and I'm not hanging around, so I'm going to swing. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, Cam Green, 45 of 75, played one of the most silliest shots I've ever seen in Test cricket. No idea what he was doing. It's quite bizarre. I mean, even if he was doing the short ball and he wanted to get away and think he was going to cut over the
offside.
That
reminds me of, you remember the old, was it Baz McCullum, Mitchell Johnson, where he backed away? Did you remember that? He just left it, hit all three. Do you remember that one?
No, exactly the same. No.
We'll clip that. But,
we'll clip that. But it wasn't like he was going to leave it. He had backed away to have full intentions of going up and over extra cover. But Atkinson was just like, we're gonna put it up in the block hole and knock over your castle. Alex Carey kind of robbed himself of 100. He had opportunity to go out there and and score runs. 63 very, very though, good. He did a job, and he does it. He always does a job. Could go down as a, well, he'd probably be the bronze medalist, I think, in this game. You'd have to give Joe Root, unfortunate to not get man of the match. Stark obviously deserved it with the 70 and the 6 for Root gets 100. But I think Carey, with all of his catches he took in the game, especially in that first innings, and coming up and keeping up to the stumps, that's crazy. Like, I don't think, especially Americans, don't kind of understand how crazy that is. I tried to put some clips together of that, like picking the bounce, because when you're like a baseball catcher, you obviously the ball is coming flat to you, and that is obviously impressive. You got to get your mitt stuck behind that 100 mile an hour fastball. In cricket, when you're keeping up to the stumps to 85, 90 miles an hour, you have to predict the bounce. And he was getting balls hitting the cracks and coming up at his head and shooting down low. And that it's kind of rare to see a keeper up to the stumps to the pace bowlers.
Yeah, I mean, he was excellent, mate. He after the shenanigans with him and Bairstow in Lords way back when, obviously he's a great character, and I mean, he won. He helped get wickets there. He was tied up to the stumps. The pressure that he created when he was behind the stumps to Stokes was a part of that wicket. They were cramping Stokes with the keeper being up to the stumps, but that's no easy task. You're like an ice hockey keeper, right? A nice fucking goalkeeper, you stood up to the stumps and you're willing to take it on the chest, you're willing to get hit. But I don't think he did. I think his hands were beautiful all game. He was excellent.
Yeah, he literally only missed one ball all game.
Which is impressive. Really impressive.
And even that one, he was up to the stumps, it just went through his back part of his glove, hit him in the chest. There was no nick, no run. It didn't cost anyone anything. But yeah, that was incredibly impressive. Josh Inglis, he came into the side. He got a couple of runs. It was, nothing crazy. I mean, he's going to be under the radar here, and we'll see if they will need him coming into the next test. Maybe not needed with Lyon and Pat Cummins coming in. We'll get into who the lineup will be into the next test a little bit later. But and then Neeser, he scored some. He was out there. He held his bat, and Australia batted deep. They batted deep. Stark and Boland put on a huge partnership. Very good performance by them. I think it's the biggest eight wicket stand in Ashes history. Very good performance from them. And then even Brendan Doggett got 13 runs at the end, and again making it
a little cheeky cut shot. Seems a little cut shot.
Yes, it was very good. So. Other things to kind of get into here to kind of discuss. Australia used the second test to seize control of the Ashes, and psychologically now, England just gutted, right? They're just absolutely like, there's no coming back for that. I think, like I mentioned, baseball is kind of dead. They have to be able to, like, get into this headspace of let's just bat. Like, let's just go out there and bat. Like, let's just bat the whole day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. And the Shudder can do that in parts, right? Even Jofra, when he played, and I know he swung a few, but he spent time at the crease. I mean, it's tough, isn't it? Because you're going to go into the third test now. Australia 2 up, flying high. And I think that's why Steve Smith came out and won the game like he did today, because he wanted to be ruthless. He wanted to say, listen, we're going to absolutely smash you to bits, and we're going to do this very quickly. I'm going to take it to the bowler, Jofra. Yes, please, I'll have some. And that's what he did. That's what I loved about it. The pressure's on. And obviously, England apparently going on a golf trip for 4 days now. That's what everyone's saying. So
really?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently so. But
relax.
But the pressure's on. Australia in the dual driving seat there.
Yeah, I mean, there's people talk about the preparation and whatever. I just think it is really a psychology and how you attack the game. Like, There should just be from the top down. It should just be bat the day. Like, I don't care how many balls you block. I don't care how many balls you need to let go. Bat the day. We have 5 days to just bat the day. Like, everyone should just be staying out there as long as possible, because the runs are there. The runs are there, and you can build partnerships together, and you can, you know, build something. And they're going to have to need to do that in Adelaide, or it'll just be like the papers and the way that the rest of the world looks at English cricket. If they get completely whitewashed in Australia, it's going to be a bad look for them. Like a real bad look for English cricket.
Been done before, mate, you know? So it's like, Still, it's was it today's fish and chip papers, tomorrow's bin or whatever it is, trash or whatever it is, yeah, they say in the UK. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, mate. I mean, Alistair Cook as well said some of his darkest times as a captain in Australia, because once you know you're under the pump, it's the whole country's behind you, right? Whether you're going to the hotel or you're getting on the plane, there's always an Aussie who's going to abuse you. You don't get any respite. So once you start going down, it's a tough place to turn it around.
Yeah, but I mean, it's more than that, because they came off the series draw to India, and they had a chance to win that series. They were 60 runs away from winning the series. And ended up losing it or getting in the draw. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, English cricket is kind of, you know, on thin ice right now. And we can move now to talk more about the captaincy. Ben Stokes, obviously this last two games have been Ben Stokes versus Steve Smith. I feel like at points Stokes just had it wrong. And I don't know if it's him having it wrong or the bowlers are just bowling the wrong, they have the wrong strategies or the wrong ideas, or, you know, where they kind of go. Like, even just right now at the end here, like, Joffre's like, okay, we're just going to bowl short to Smith. Okay, that's, I know the game's over. But then when Weatherall was on strike, they had five behind square. Like, I don't, like, what is happening?
Even like the Australian team, England team, like, what's this? Test cricket, the fielders are crazy. Like, what's going on with this? It's like the singles everywhere, and like everyone's like, I'm still going to try and smack it, and I'm going to get nicked off, even though there's singles everywhere. Right. I can bat and face 150 balls, 150 singles. Thank you very much. But Smith, he's done everything right. That's all you can look at, right? He's two tests, two wins. They've won 2 days, one in four and a bit days. Smith, literally everything he's done, everything he's touched has turned into gold in the last two tests. Stokes is under the pump because he's also not getting help. Some of the players are struggling. So even if your balls are struggling with pace and stuff, you know, it's what fields do you set to that? It's quite, you have to end up setting a field to a bad ball. Yeah. So it's... obviously Steve Smith's well ahead of the game, and he's two up in captaincy and also up in games one.
Yes. Bowling, the two breakthrough kind of things. Stark, we could talk all day about how good Stark he is. He's definitely in that first innings, he was holding it down for Australia. And we said that the other three were kind of the same wheel in the cog. They were just doing the same thing, not doing much. But Nisa really stepped up in the second innings. And also I have to say, Boland bowled very well, last night. Boland bowled very well last night. And I think sometimes you can probably talk more about this, is that, bowlers getting into a rhythm, into a groove, into a, like a, you know, their eyes kind of light up and they're just like, they're in the moment. Like Boland last night, if the game had gone on for another hour last night, I think Boland would have rolled them last night. He was on something last night. You know what I mean? And then coming into today, not the same. And then Nisa kind of got himself into that groove and really connected with Carey being up to the stumps. And like, all of a sudden he was on and, you know, three brings five.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at the Aussie bowlers and the English bowlers. Archer bowled okay, Stokesy bowled well in spots, but then you look at the Australian bowlers, apart from Doggett, the other three were excellent, right? Green didn't bowl too much, he was so, he's still okay, but yeah, if you look at Stark, excellent. The first kind of innings, he was smooth and silky, does what Stark does, his wobble seam and springs some back. You look at Boland when he gets into that rhythm, it's that sweet spot where everything feels easy, the ball's going to put it where you're going to drop it. You think it and you put it exactly there. So, and obviously in cricket, the best bowlers can hit this like a certain spot over and over again with pace, with bounce. It's not as a bowler, you're just putting it there. You're actually bowling it with pace, with momentum, which obviously hits the pitch and allows it to deviate or swing better from your wrist. But they're the three for me that's kind of changed the game there with Stark. Boland during the innings was excellent, as you said yesterday. And then Nisa today was outstanding, and yesterday.
Yeah, they put the handkerchief on the pitch for the, you know, they do the mapping.
About this side, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the A4 piece of paper. And Nisa was just on that line, on that length today. Very, very good performance. And well-deserved five. You know, is that enough to keep him in the squad? Like, this is like a whole scenario that's going to come to let's just probably go into a little bit about that now. Like, five, you get five wickets and you may get dropped.
Well, if you think of it, Doggett will be out, right?
So yeah, you'd probably have to go dog it out. So line, so Pat Cummins comes back in. That should get rid of Josh Inglis. That removes Josh Inglis potentially, right? Because you have Inglis and you have Doggett are probably going to be the people that removed, right? Yeah. That would make the most sense. You would keep Cam Green, and you would go with Pat Cummins in for Josh Inglis, and then you would have Lyon to come back in for Doggett. And then now you've got your 11, right? That makes sense, right? Yeah, all done. Yeah, yeah. Even Stevens.
You've got your main balls, and then you got your Green as well, right? Who's balled 140 on a good day. So that's
right.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's the team, right?
That's it. That's Adelaide's team. But England have some trouble with their top order. Is there a chance that they go the role with maybe they drop Pope and go with Bethel? Do they Bethel got some runs?
I didn't get any. He got out. He didn't get many, did he?
Got 40.
He got 40. I don't know. Are you going to stick with that? Are you going to stick with Popey? Like after two games, he got a 50 in the first game.
Right? It's this weird scenario, right? Where it's like at different points and different innings, each of them did something that was like, oh, okay, that's good. But they Australia put every batter together for one innings. England haven't put every batter together in one innings. If they had put everyone's best moments into just one innings, we would have a good test match. But right now, one or two in the order in the 11 are doing something each innings. They're not putting it all together. So it's hard to give the judge on form. Yeah,
when I watch Popey, I know how good of a player he is. I've seen him get runs, many, many runs. But when I watch him play test cricket, I always feel like it's vulnerable and something's going to happen. And I feel like when he gets through a certain period, then he can express himself a little bit. But up top, I feel like he's always going to give chances, you know. Will Jacks bats number one in ODI cricket. Do you bring Jacks to three? Then you've got him, and you can bring someone else in, you know, because he's batting low down. But
I heard they would say on the comms that today they said Jacks to three, and then Pope to glove. Give Pope the gloves, and then get rid of Jamie Smith.
I think the ball's not going to do as much in Adelaide, right? In terms of bounce and stuff, Jamie Smith would be better in Adelaide, and he's keeping, I know he dropped a catch and stuff, but like he's been pretty sweet. He's been good for England. Doesn't he average 50 with a bat, mate? You can't drop someone's average 50 with a bat.
Like, I don't know. I think he's under the pump a little bit right now. I don't know. And I don't know who else you want to bring in. We have to talk about the bowling for England. They, you know, like go through the whole order. Do you give Potts a chance? Do you give Tung a chance? Do you give Joffre a rest? Like has Joffre been that impactful?
No, I mean, yeah, he's averaging, 38 with the ball? He's got three wickets? Oh, so, 40, averaging 40. So, I mean, the thing is with that, pace does bring chances. It also puts pressure on the batsman. It makes you feel uncomfortable. You have to have someone bowling like that. He is making difference, right? He is making people bounce around. And even today with the Steve Smith thing, Steve Smith does not want to be facing 150. That's why he's playing like that. He wants to finish it, but it's not comfortable. Do you know what I mean? It makes people feel uncomfortable, which might give chances at the other end. But in terms of impact, him getting wickets, he hasn't got many. But do you bring... Is Woody being cancelled out? Is Woody out of it? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about what's happening with his leg. But on the case on the case that he is out, the other options they can roll with, Potts and Tung. They spoke a lot about bowling to left armers, having specialists bowling to the left armers. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like Joffre has really figured out Weatherald, and he has the ball to get him out. Apart from that, he hasn't really has anyone's number. You know what I mean? Like he's bowling. He can bowl at 150. He hasn't been because that first inning spell, he didn't bowl very. He was like coming out the gate at 135. Yeah. And you've talking about this. We've spoken about this. Maybe not even on the pod. We've spoken about this. But before you go to bowl personally, you'd like to like really do something really athletic and really explosive to get yourself ready and primed. Fire. To bowl. Brett Lee was talking about this also on comms. He does the same thing. They had footage of Joff just sitting on the fence, waiting to come in, just chilling on the fence, just his head kind of like this.
But you don't know what he's done in the dressing room, though, right?
you don't.
I think he would have done a few med ball slams, or he might have felt Was it straight from his batting? But who knows? But yeah, you need to be fired up from ball one. I mean, someone who can bowl that quick, 150, like, don't waste your deliveries. I know sometimes you're not meant to do that, but he wasted a few. He bowled, what, down the leg side for four today, which I've done plenty of times in my life. But it's like, that's setting the tone, right? It's like, make sure you are warm. Make sure you're fired to go and hit that 150 from ball one. Because he was aggressive today. It was pretty impressive, the paces, right? He was unsettling batsman. But you look at that, as you said, and I did call out for Potts for this game. And I think it would have suited him because he's a very similar bowler to like a Boland or a Nisa. But I think him going to Adelaide's a different wicket. It's a bit drier. So then who do you go with? Obviously, you're going to go still with, so you've got Stokes. You probably, Atkinson's probably going to play again. Because Atkinson's actually been most accurate, one of the most accurate bowlers. He picked up a couple of wickets today. He picked up three in the game, I think, right? Or maybe two or three.
Something to that effect, yeah.
But he's been bowling nicely in terms of being attacking the stumps. He's been hitting the pitch hard. His pace has not been up there, but 135, 140. So I potentially would keep him in. I maybe would go with the Tongue. I'd say, let's go, mate. Let's give it a go. He's been playing a few games away from this. He's played some Lions games, so he's got some overs under the belt. And he can bowl like that spell, which can pick up wickets. He's got that extra pace, and apparently he's been bowling quick over there. So throw him in there. Get him in there.
Get him in there. Get the Tongue in. Fielding and fielding and discipline. Five catches go down for England yesterday. Big cost. I mean, catches win matches. I'll say it over and over again. Everything from the Labuschagne one-handed specky to end the innings on day two. And then through to everything today with Steve Smith, like Australia forever. There has been no better fielding team consistently in the history of cricket. Australia just is the pinnacle of fielding, right? They just do it the best.
Yeah, I would counter that with, I used to remember South Africa, remember like de Villiers and Jonty Rhodes and all these guys. I remember that used to feel like it was the pinnacle watching them guys in the Ponty and stuff. But yeah, definitely, I mean, other teams are getting better and better and better, but when you think of catching, Australia catch so well and England didn't catch so well. Five catches is kind of criminal, you know? It's some easy, some very easy, some hard, but five catches is five catches. It's hard enough to create chances as bowlers, so hopefully you can snag a few, right?
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I said. Like, if England take a couple of those chances, again, it shifts the momentum. You know what I mean? Like, Duckett had an easy one bubble out of his hand. Obviously, it got counteracted with Jax getting an awesome one-handed specky soon after. Yep. But then at the beginning, Duckett had a diving save, a diving one in the slips. You know, if you do a nice diving catch, it really, like, everyone's up and about. And you could see when Jax took his, he was up and the crowd was up and Bami Ami was up. And you drop one and everyone's heads go down and the gas kind of goes out of everyone. And between Stokes and Joff, they are very animated when things go wrong. Like, particularly Ben Stokes. I've clipped all of the, hang the head. And, you know, I don't know what it's like for the players to have your, like, captain be your bowler. I never had a captain be a bowler. And then to see them visibly, like, upset all the time. Is there someone that you were under that was captain that bowled, or it was like that, or is it, have you experienced that before?
No, I haven't, but I just know when I've played with people, Stokes is normally fairly level-headed, but he's obviously under the pressure there of the Ashes and obviously getting pumped 2-0, but I know when I've played with certain captains, when they're too animated, it kind of puts you off a little bit. You want someone who's calm-headed, like Owen Morgan was the best. You wouldn't know if you bowled a pie or you got a wicket. It's fairly like level-headed, and this is your job, this is what you do. Sometimes if you're put under pressure and you see your captain doing this behind or the side of your eye, like all that, you know what I mean? It puts extra pressure that, I mean, the ball is probably not trying to do that. Something wrong, he might have got smacked, he might have misplaced the ball, but the shit happens, right? So it's... But it's just also showing passion and want to win. There's also that side of it. It might be animated, but it might not be at the ball. It might be at the frustration of not getting a wicket, you know? So only they will know.
Yes. So, moving out of this test into the next test, England have to pull it together to kind of, you know, save face and put on a show and not just get completely rolled. They did a better job. They're doing a little bit better. They got it. They got the game to move into 4 days instead of 2 days. But they really have to get away from this one brings two thing. Like it seems now when for England, if one goes down, you're ready for three more to come in the next couple of overs. And Australia is going to ride this high into Adelaide, right?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And in Adelaide, you can't lose wickets in bunches. You know, that seems to be, that just ruins everything. You got a partnership of 130, but then you lose five quick wickets. It's like, okay, great. You know, we have to separate that out. Australia showed they could do it in the lower order. England did it in lower order. You can bat time. You can be positive, but not reckless. I think that's what they need to do. But it's going to be hard to come back against an Australian team who are firing. They're bringing two more people into the squad who's got over 800 wickets between them in Test cricket. So that's not a bad thing to have. So, yeah, the pressure's fully on England. England have to going to go away, rethink it, think about what they've done wrong, because they did do a lot wrong in this test between catching, bowling and batting. So they've got a lot of food for thought. But I think they're going to come exactly the same way, right? Hopefully a little bit smarter, but they still play the shots. They're still going to do massive drives. They're still going to try and ramp, you know, they're still going to try and run down the wicket. So we'll see how it pays out, mate. But it's not working right now. And that I don't think the way they're playing is going to work in Adelaide either. So,
well, maybe their 4 days of golf will settle the mind and get them into a good headspace.
Yeah, good. Some rotation.
There you go. There you go, team. That is your second test wrap from the Gabber. Liam, thank you very much. It's been awesome. That's cricket.
That's cricket.